Alrighty, thank you so much. And it's a real blessing. We've really enjoyed the fellowship and getting to know everyone here and spending time. And thank you, ladies, for the tremendous lunches that you've been giving us, and we really appreciate that. And not only did they finish that up, then everything is all tidied up and cleaned up, and it looks like nobody was even there. And that's, we appreciate that part of your ministry, and thank you so much for that. And the preaching, everything's been such a tremendous joy and a blessing, and to get to meet some new missionaries, and then of course to get reacquainted with folks that we've known quite some time and to see them again. What a joy that is. So, all right, look, if you turn your Bible this evening to Matthew chapter 5. And while you're turning there, last night I told you a little bit about our work, but I'll tell you this. When we started then our ministry in 1979, it was still under the Cold War time. And of course, during that time, it was illegal to have missionaries go into the communist-controlled countries. It was illegal to have Bibles and Christian literature distributed. And so this all had to be done secretly. And I know one time where my wife and I had a suitcase full of literature we were taking into East Germany. And the night before, usually before we'd go into these countries, you'd be up pacing the floor a lot, praying and saying, God, you know what, how do you want us to handle this? What do you want us to do? And that particular time, the Lord just impressed upon my heart to take it all out and just set it up on the back seat of the car, right in the open. And so, okay, I did that. And, well, we pull up to the East German border, and it's not like you're going into Canada and you have one little border. They have multiple stops. And they didn't run you straight through. You had to weave around and do different things. And we get up to the big, they got this big metal table, and of course the guards come out and open the trunk and get your suitcases, put them out here, open your suitcases, open the hood, and they're looking, open the doors, and they're around by the vehicles, and all of a sudden the guy is on the front seat. He's punching the front seat, he's reaching underneath the front seat, and he closes that up, and he goes to the back. And of course his literature's all stacked up, you know, on the back seat. And so he's reaching on her seat, underneath the seat, and all of a sudden he punches the front of the, and the books, the stuff is going, and I'm looking at this, and I thought, oh no, a piece of it's going to slide off, and it's going to beat him one. And he stops, and he backs out and closes the door. So we're looking at this, you know, and we don't say anything, and so then all of a sudden, they go, close up your suitcases and put them in. And we go down, and there's another stop where you got your visa. You had to have it checked and all this stuff, you know, and where the hotel you're going to be staying in. And now we get to the last stop, and where the captain comes out with all the scrambled eggs, you know, on his hat and everything, you know, and he's the big gun. And he's got our passports. So he comes out, and he's reaching the passports out. I got one end, and he's got the other end. And then he sits and he's looking at me, and he turns and he looks right toward all that literature. And my heart stopped. I thought, oh great, all the way through, and now he's going to stop us. And he just, it seemed like eternity, but it was only a few seconds. And he backs up and he goes, Auf Wiedersehen. And off we go. And we're driving away, and I'm looking there, and all of a sudden I tip down the mirror and I look, and I asked my wife, I said, do you see this literature back here? And she says, mm-hmm. And I says, evidently God kept them from seeing it. Yeah. Amen. And that didn't always happen. You know, there were times we had Bible couriers caught. And you say, well, what happened to them? Heavy interrogation. And they would ban them from the country. But what they wanted is who you were going to. And we had everything codenamed. So they could give whatever name they wanted to, because it was a code and it wasn't the real name. And you say, it sounds like espionage. It was. It's very, very dangerous, very dangerous stuff. And so when that wall came down in 1989, I'll never forget, it was on December 25th in Romania, where they were fed up with it, and all the public buildings, they set this up, every public building in the country, they dropped the flag, cut out the communist symbol, and raise her up. And they said, we had enough. And that set things off, and over the next few weeks, everything opened up. And what an opportunity. you know, from that point on. And by the grace of God, 10 days ago, we shipped our 101st container of scripture to that part of the world. This one here is filled with 377,000 Gospels of John, Romans in German that are going into Germany and will end up in Austria and in Switzerland and spread out for the German-speaking people there. And so be praying for that. Amen. And we've got scripture we've shipped now in 17 different languages into 33 different countries. And you saw in our presentation last night the campaign. We've held 24 major campaigns like that now in 15 different countries in 33 different cities. And our teams have gone over and handed out over 2.5 million scriptures have been handed out in those cities. And you say, well, what's God doing with it? I don't know. That's His deal. We've done our part. We've gone in. We've helped missionaries, helped nationals. And we know of two missionary families, by the grace of God, that were going to quit. They told us afterwards, they said, we're done. They said, these people don't want us here. These people don't like us. These people don't want nothing to do with us. But because of the campaign, it set them on fire. And they got a new vision and renewed energy to reach their people. Amen. And they've stayed on the field, and we thank God for that. We have several other missionaries on the field now that came on our campaigns. People that came, surrendered their lives, and now are on the mission field. And oh, listen, just keep praying. We want to keep on laboring. Like right now, we're working toward, I mentioned last night, the Polish, the pocket-sized whole Bible for the Polish military and the Polish law enforcement. We're working on that. We also are preparing this fall. We'll be printing 6,000 German whole Bibles. In 2017, we had a campaign in St. Gallen, Switzerland. The missionary there, he says, listen, he says, I want to start a church in Germany and start a church in Austria. And he was positioned where it took us about 40, 45 to Konstanz, Germany, and in the other direction, about 40, 45 minutes, we were in Dornbirn, Austria. So we targeted all three of those cities. And we didn't know what God was going to do, had no idea. And during that time, we only had like 28, 29 people would come to our meeting. We'd pass out all those scriptures in those towns and have 27, 28. That, and we were kind of discouraged, thinking, man, there should be hundreds. Yet, if you had 28 visitors walking here tonight, it'd be kind of exciting, wouldn't it? You know? But hey, what was neat is they stayed around. They didn't leave. A lot of times you had big crowds, they'd get their Bible and boom, they'd be gone. People stayed and had questions. And in Dornbirn, Austria, most of them were college age young people. They knew that their religion was a fake, a fraud. And they heard something they never heard before that night. And so they stayed. And then brother, the missionary there, brother Nico Verhoff, we brought over 10,000 whole Bibles. And he contacted me in January. And he says, Brother Don, he says, would you be interested in maybe printing us some more Bibles by the first of 2022 to have them? And I said, man, you had almost 10,000 Bibles. What do you do with them? He says, gave a lot of them to our missionary friends throughout the country, but he says, I'm getting calls and emails requesting from 6 to as many as 12 per week from German people. Now, we had many, many folks say, well, oh, Germany, they're so hard, they're nobody, rah, rah. You don't know their hearts. People are seeking. And, you know, a lot of times we get it in our head, you can't do it here, you can't build it here. But just keep going. Because there's people there that all of a sudden you're going to come across them. Amen. And that's what you got to do. You just keep on, you just throw as many lines out in the water as you can and just keep fishing. And so please continue to pray for us. We've got this next year, we're going to, God willing, go into Poland in the spring, then in the summer into Croatia, and then in the fall into Berlin, Germany. There's three major areas we want to go and target. And God raises up the teams He wants to go, and that we'll see some things happen. And I don't know with this COVID garbage what's going to go on, but hey, we're going to go and do what God told us to do. Amen. And just let it go from there. So please be praying for us for that. All right, this evening when you turn in your Bibles, I want to mention this. We're not going to let anybody leave until they get this beautiful, beautiful photograph. You will want this. This will enhance your home. You'll probably want to put a little around it, you know, and set it in a corner. No, we prefer either a wooden or a gold frame, one or the other. But anyways, you know, you pray for covet your prayers, and then get this topic. I mean, this literature we got here, tell you about our ministry and a brief little synopsis of it. And please, you pray for us. We need prayer warriors. All right, let's look this evening in Matthew chapter 5 at a very familiar scripture. Go down to verses 14, 15, and 16. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Father, how we thank you and we praise you, God, for your goodness. How we thank you, Lord, for salvation that's free to us and yet it cost you so much. And Lord, I pray that you might hide me behind the cross tonight. And Lord, that I'd only say that which you'd have to be spoken. Lord, I pray you'd prepare our hearts for the word of God this evening. And Lord, that you'd help us not only to hear it, but to receive it on a fertile heart. And Lord, then that we might apply what we hear tonight to our lives. That we might be drawn closer to you and be a better soldier of the cross. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to speak tonight for about 3 hours. I'll move right along. On do the work of a candle. And you say, what? Do the work of a candle. Well, we're going to look at this here and see some things. You notice in verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men." He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And we've talked some about seeing, things that have to be seen. And the lost world out there, they're being entertained to death. And a lot of times you find in Christianity where they try to mix and try all these different things to forget that kind of garbage. I like your philosophy here. Just preach the word. You know, the word of God is what's going to convict hearts and what's going to change hearts. And so he says, listen, they got to see something in you, see something in your life, see something in your attitude, see something that comes through you that the world cannot replicate. And it's something that has got to be there that'll make a difference in their life. And so he's talking here now. He says, okay, I want you to do the work of a candle. He says, I want you to be like a candle. Now, the thing is when you if we were to have a candle here tonight and the power was to go out and it was dark outside and if I was to take the candle and I'd light it and I'd take it over here and I'd put it behind the piano. Now you say, I ain't too smart. You know, we say, well, okay, I'll take it from there and I'll set it over here. Now that's a little better. But you say, no, if you want the full effect of the light of that candle, you'd have to put it up on the highest point. This would be the candlestick. And in a scripture like this, is simple enough for an unlearned person who has not had any education or even young children can understand what Jesus is trying to tell people in these few verses right here. It's something that's very simple that can be grasped. So as we look at a candle, you say, well, what's the first thing that a candle is? What's the primary thing that a candle has to do? A candle has to burn. Now, if we were to take a candle and you put it here and it's the real deal, not one of these fake ones, but a real candle, what does that flame do? It flickers. It's going, what's it doing? It's sucking in oxygen. Flame loves wind. It loves the breeze. It loves blowing on it. So it sucks in that oxygen. And the real thing, the real deal is always, number one, active. So the number one thing about a candle is it got to be active. And you and I, if we're going to replicate a candle, because, and think of this for a moment, you don't make your own light. Go back to the book of Psalms. And you get in Psalms 18, and you get down to verse number 28, it says this, For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Oh, I thank God that He's the one that lights our candle. And I thank God that in March 19th, 1972, I repented of my sin and called on Him, He lit my candle.
Amen.
Thank God that nobody can put that out. I can't put it out. None of you can put it out. And I'm His forevermore. And thank God for that. And it's not of me, it's all of Him. And that's what's such a blessing. And He says, listen, He says, this candle, I will light the candle. Now, remember, as when you first got saved, do you remember how exciting it was? You know, you just get saved and there's a change in your life and you come here to the church and you hear these songs and you're like a little bird there just chirping away and they're just feeding you the Word of God and feeding you these songs and it's things you've never heard before, things you didn't know anything about, but all of a sudden they're just like fresh fruit to you every time you come and you can't wait to get back because you need more and you want more. And it's so exciting as you have that. But you know what happens sometimes? At first that candle's going, it's just sucking in that oxygen, it's active. But all of a sudden you let it start to go dim. And all of a sudden you just come in and it becomes just routine. And you just kind of go, well, we're here at church because you got to be here at church. You know, it's just a habit. You come in and you come and you sing the song. And when you're done singing a song, you don't even have any idea what you're saying because you're so used to singing that song. You just sang the song and you sit down. You know, listen, it's don't let it go dim.
Amen.
You know, you got to keep it bright. You got to keep it fed. You got to keep it going. And you need that breeze of the Holy Spirit to keep breathing fresh upon you. And the way it stays fresh as you stay in this book. It stays fresh as you stay on your knees. It stays fresh when you're around God's people. It stays fresh when you're under the preaching of the Word of God. It stays fresh when you're active and telling somebody about Jesus. It stays fresh when you're doing these things. But you can't let it get dim. And then you don't want to take that active candle into the wrong places. You know, don't drag Jesus down into a bar.
Amen.
You know, don't do it. Don't drag Him down into some rotten place in the internet. You know, it's so easy nowadays for everybody because it's right in your fingertips. And oh, listen, be careful. Don't do that. Watch out where the placement of the candle is. That's why He says here in the scriptures, He says, neither do you light the candle and cover it with a bushel basket. Now I had to say bushel basket because I was in a church a while ago and I mentioned something about a bushel and the guy come up to me and he says, I looked up bushel. And he says, when you Google bushel, it talks about a dry measurement. He said, how can you cover a candle with a dry measurement? And I thought, good night. This guy doesn't know what a bushel is. The bushel back. And he wasn't a little kid. I mean, he was probably in his late 20s, maybe 30 years old. And I got thinking, I thought, well, if a guy's been, you know, I handled bushel baskets ever since I could remember. My mom used to say, you know, we'd take the little red wagon. I couldn't carry the bushel, but I could set the bushel basket in there. And she'd say, go out under the apple trees and pick up apples and fill the bushel up. And she'd be canning, you know, boiling these and canning these, and making applesauce and canning that and all this stuff. And of course, when you're a kid and you're out there and, you know, you get tired. A bushel basket, it's like a dump truck. You know, you look at that and you're putting these, it's like, man, it never fills up. And so what you do then is, you know, apples, they're like balls. So you start throwing them. You know, we used to have the metal roof on the barn and on the shed and it had, you know, these slats. And if you hit one of the slats, it split open, you know, and the juice would run down. And then they got tired of that. And then there was chickens. You know, no chickens were safe, you know, they're like, boom, you know, and then all of a sudden out of the house, Donnie, where's the apples? Uh-oh, now I was in trouble. But oh, listen, a bushel basket, he didn't understand, but listen, that's why I said it's a basket, it's like a pail that covers the light up. Okay, now you understand. But anyway, here it is, he says, you don't light the candle and hide it. Remember that active. Stay active. It's got to be active. You got to keep it going. You got to stay active as a believer. And you lift it up and you set it on that candlestick. You know, when I grew up on the farm, we were down on a dead end road at a dairy farm there. So the power lines came down and we had a transformer out there and we were the end of the line. And when a storm came, and it was unreal how many times when a storm hit and all of a sudden the lights would flicker and poof, they'd go out. Well, Mom was prepared for that. She had several of these oil lamps and she had them set away and she'd take and grab a flashlight and go over and get the oil lamps and bring them out and light them. We'd set them around and we had some light. And you'd wait, you know, and sometimes it wasn't a storm. Sometimes, we'd have squirrels go up and climb up the pole and they'd get up there and they'd bite one of the wires in the transformer and you'd have fried squirrel and no power. But anyway, it was just the way it happened. Well, anyway, she'd take and light these lamps and we'd put them around until the power came on. Well, then the next morning she'd go and take each one of the globes off. And if you looked at the globe, it had this smoky gray color over it. Because as that flame was burning, it was letting off that soot that just kind of was setting around there. And what happened is then, if you didn't clean it up, the next time you lit that, it was dimmer. It wasn't as bright. You know, the scriptures talk about us, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Look it over in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 6 and verse 19. And here the scripture's being given, and I like what Paul says here in verse 19. The very first thing he says, what? You know, it's like, what's the matter? Don't you understand this? Did you ever do that to your kids? You know, you explain something to them, you explain it again to them, and you want them to do something, and it wasn't done, or it wasn't done anywhere right, and you look at them and you go, what? What's the matter with you? It's kind of like, this is what Paul's saying here. He says, what? Don't you understand? He goes on, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? See, this body, this temple here, as that candle is lit, if we're not careful, we'll allow the carnal to cover up the spiritual. And the light will get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and we become less effective with the gospel and reaching others for Jesus Christ. And so he says, you're not your own. He says, for you're not for glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It says here, glorify God. In Matthew 15, it says there, in Matthew 5 and verse 16, it says, glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's kind of the same thing, right? He says, listen, I want you as a candle to bring glory to me. And he says, so you gotta keep the soot out. You gotta keep the stuff out of your life that's gonna bury the light. And there's all kinds of things we could talk about that. Let's look in Ephesians. And you get in Ephesians in chapter 4, and let's go down to verse 22. In Ephesians 4 and verse 22. He says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Remember before you got saved, the old man, the conversations you'd have, the things you'd say, the places you'd go? Remember those kind of things? He says, put them off. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. You know, you don't hear a lot of preaching nowadays on holiness. The Lord God says, I am the Lord God. He says, be ye holy, for I am the Lord God. And he says, and I'm holy. He says, I want you to be holy because I'm holy. That's right. And that's what he wants us to be. And then he goes on, he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is for good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, listen, how many times do we grieve the Spirit of God?
Yeah.
He says, don't grieve him. He says, remember, he lit that candle within you. Remember, it's going, it's supposed to be active. It's supposed to be burning. And he says, I want you to keep it bright. But he says, if you allow all these things, he goes on, then he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He says, oh, listen, there's a whole lot of instruction. He says, I want you to be clean. He says, I want that vessel to be clean so the light can shine out. He says, listen, it has to be that way. And so we find the first thing, he says, you got to be active. A candle's active. Second thing about a candle is humble. He said, why is a candle humble? Because a candle is at the bottom of the lighting field. It's at the bottom. And yet today, 2021, light is gauged by candle power. Well, listen, you don't come in when you talk to somebody and announce yourself and say, oh, hey, look at me. I got something big. I'm going to tell you about I'm something. No, it's about him.
Amen.
It's about him. And our God specializes in taking little things and doing great things with them. You know, you think of the little boy in John there where he brought his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And of course there in the account it says feeding of the 5,000. You go over to the book of Mark and it talks about plus women and children. So there could be anywhere from 15 to 25,000 people there. And he told the disciples, you know, you make them sit down and get them organized because we're going to feed them. And we see what God did, how he took and how he multiplied that, how he did something beyond anything they ever dreamt. And listen, God's still in the God business. He's still in the God business. He's still in doing things that are just miraculous. And you know, the greatest miracles that take place and we take for granted many times is when somebody gets saved.
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest miracles that take place.
Yeah.
You take this life that's filled with wretched sin, that's doing whatever it's doing, wickedness and wretched lifestyle, and finally, you know, people are praying for him and people are witnessing to him and people are and continually trying to get him to come to church and constantly dealing with him, and all of a sudden they realize they're a hell-bound sinner. They repent and get saved and their life is changed. What a miracle. It's a miracle. The world can't replicate that. Can't do it. But oh, listen, our God can do it. And, you know, you ever hear anybody say, well, they'll never get saved? Yeah, people say that. You know, God, he works in that area of the impossible. And it's up to us to ask. You know, my brother-in-law, John, my wife's younger brother, he went on, he was a musician, loved playing the piano, went on to Berklee College of Music. And I remember one time he wrote back and he was so disappointed because in one of his classes he got an A minus. He was, I mean, he got straight A's and everything. Brilliant, brilliant guy. And while he was there, while he was off, my wife Laura, because he was lost, she'd taken about every 4 to 6 weeks, she'd write him a letter. And then in that, she would just give him some news, and then she'd always stick a gospel tract in. And as we went to churches, she kept looking for different tracts, different approaches to getting the gospel, and she just kept finding whatever she could find, and just kept sending off these tracts. Well, he graduated there, and then he went on a cruise ship and played for 2 years on a cruise ship. And she kept writing to him. Well, he got tired of that, and he left the cruise ship. And so in Boston, he started his own jazz band. Well, he's playing that jazz band, and Laura just kept writing to him, kept writing to him. Finally, we thought, you know, after about 9 years, 10 years, she'd been writing, we thought, let's send him a New Testament. And we never heard anything back. He never said a word about any of this. So we sent him a New Testament. Never heard anything about that. Now it's going on close to 12 years. He says, well, I'm coming back home to Oshkosh for Christmas to be with the family. It's been quite a few years since he'd been there. And so when he came, We had a music minister, Brother Alan Ives, in the church, and my wife went to him and says, would you talk to John when he comes? You know, just spend some time with him. He said, sure. So he said he sat down with him about a half hour and tried to witness to him and talk to him. And later when John left and Laura went to Alan and says, what was John like? And he says, he was cordial. He says, he was cordial. He listened. Well, a few weeks went by. We get a letter. And it's very rare we ever get a letter from John. And Laura's standing there, and all of a sudden the tears are running. And I didn't know what happened. I go over there, and she says, John got saved. He said, John trusted Jesus, and he's quit his jazz band. And he says, I'm moving back to Oshkosh. I got to get into a Bible preaching church. He said, I want to get there. I'll listen it for 12 years. 12 years is a long time. But, oh, listen, you don't give up. You don't give up. Our pastor, Pastor Randy King, he's pastor emeritus now, but his dad, lost, hard old farmer, type of guy you don't tell him anything. I mean, just the way he was, you know, how that World War II era, that, you know, just had that gruffness about him that, hey, yes, they were men's men, you know, and they went out and he just worked hard and we kept praying for him and kept on. And finally, it was just a matter of weeks. He's in his 90s now. Before he died, he trusted Christ. Amen. So you don't know. You don't know. But oh, listen, God takes us the humble things. He says he wants us to be humble. Just like that candle. But then while you're humble, remember that you're active. You're active. You don't quit. You stay active. I think what's happened in our country, in America, why it's gotten to the place it is because Bible preaching churches and Christians got inactive. Right. They got so used to and so comfortable around their religion that they forgot they're serving Christ and they need to be active and be telling others about Jesus, witnessing to Him, getting tracts out, doing something. Yeah. Do something for Christ.
Amen.
You know, don't hold back. And you find that in God's work, He's not looking for big shots. He's looking for a lot of little shots shooting together. That's what He's looking for. He says, just get the job done.
Amen.
So we find you got to be a candle. You got to be active. You got to be humble. There's a third thing. A candle is selfless. A candle gives itself away. Oh, listen, we need to be selfless. We need to take and be a servant. And we need to, as we're burning and as we're laboring and as we're going, we just need to keep serving. And, you know, listen, I guess what frosts me sometimes, I've heard many times where people say, well, I won't go back into church anymore because I got offended. Get in the Bible. Amen. It says, great peace have they which love thy law and what? Nothing shall offend them. Listen, you get in the Word of God and you get your life bathed with the Word of God and you keep the soot out of your chimney and shine bright.
Amen.
And oh, listen, you're the one that is going to love and care for those people as you're burning for Him. You know, have you ever been in total darkness? You know, I mean total darkness. I remember years ago we were in meetings in Kentucky and we had the opportunity there and went to this called Mammoth Cave. And the park ranger took us down there, and of course they're talking about all this, millions of that, and all this stuff, you know, and you're just listening to it. And then he said this. He says, now I don't want you younger people especially, he says, don't get scared. He says, we're going to cut off the lights in here for a little bit, and we want you to experience what this is in total darkness. And they shut those lights off. And you could take your hand, and you could go, until it touched your nose and never saw it. We're in a dark world. But just think what one light of a candle can do in a dark world. And then other candles and other candles and other candles. And if they're active and they're humble and they're selfless and they just keep on going. You know, when we were in Moldova a few years ago in the city of Chisinau, the capital, about 650,000 people. And you saw in our presentation that we take the big group and we break it down into smaller groups. And Brother Larry Ingalls had one of our groups, and his responsibility is right down in the main street, right in the heart of the city. And in that area, there was a school for the blind. And so what they did is on all of the stop and go lights, they put these buzzers, these beepers. And they'd be going all the time. They'd be going just a light beep, beep. You could just hear them. But when the light turned yellow, it would go beep, 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 beep. And when it turned red, it would go beep, and it would shut off. Well, that way these folks who were blind, they were down there. They knew when they could cross and when they couldn't cross these streets. Well, Larry said he was down there, and we were working away. And he says one day, he says, across the street, he said, here was a Moldovan cowboy. And you say, well, what's so strange about that? There are no cowboys in Moldova. But he had his cowboy hat on. He had his big belt buckle. He had his cowboy boots on. And Larry said he was just staring across the street at me. And he says I was working. And he says, I'd look, and he was just staring at me. And he says, finally the light changed. And he says, he came right up to me, and he holds out his hand. So Larry gives him the John Romans. And he looks at it, and then he goes, big. And Larry says, this is as big as we've got. You know, this is it. You know, he goes, big. So Larry gives him a couple more. And he goes, big. So he gives him about 7 or 8 John Romans. Well, the guy leaves. He's gone only a matter of a minute. He comes running back, bigger, bigger. And Larry looks at him, bigger. Well, Larry gives him about 20 of them. And the guy leaves. Only this time, Larry follows him down to that corner. He wanted to see what's he doing, because I don't know about you, but I've asked some Jehovah's Witness already, bigger, bigger, and then you file it, you know. But anyway, we thought maybe they might be getting rid of, you know, these books. But what that guy would do is when the light turned red, he walked right down in the street. There was the two lines of the traffic, and he went from car to car. And folks are thinking, this has got to be important. They're rolling down, and everybody's taking them. And then he'd listen. And when he heard this light go, beep, 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 he knew, oh, it's going to change. He'd get off, walk back to where the light was, and do the next thing all over again. Well, he came back in a few more minutes, and he was gone, and Larry gave him a whole box. He said, go to it. Well, Larry told us about that night, and he said, I was hoping this guy would come back again. But he didn't. Well, now a few more days go by, and it's the time for the big meeting. Well, we got our Bible table set up, and the auditorium's nearly full. And in comes the cowboy. His cowboy hat on, and he's got 6, 7 fellows around him. He comes up to the table, and he picks up one of the Bibles, and he's paging through it, and he's talking to these folks. And Larry comes over to me, and he says, Don, do you know this guy? And I says, sorry, I don't. I said, get an interpreter and go and find out who he is. And so Larry goes over there to him, and through the interpreter he says, you know, who are you anyhow? And Larry said, I'll never forget it. He said, it was like I slugged him right in the gut. He said, the guy went, ah. He says, you don't know me? He says, you don't know me? And he pointed over to me, and he said, that's Donnie Sturtz and his wife, Laura. He pointed to my brother and said, that's Kenny Sturtz and his wife, Tricia. He pointed to Larry's wife, and he said, that's your wife, Cheryl. He says, 10 years ago, you came and held a campaign in our city. He says, I came and I got saved. And he says, now I'm a member of the Bible church down here, and I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I'm one of the deacons in the church. And he said, when I heard you were coming, he said, I begged my employer. I said, please, please let me off. He says, please. He said, I wanted to do all I could to give my fellow countrymen a chance to be saved. He said, like I had to know Jesus. And he said, all that they gave me was a half a day. And he said, I did all I could during that time. Oh, listen, dear Christian, I would to God that each one of us could get that kind of a passion for souls, that we just have a love and a burning in our hearts hearts for our fellow countrymen and do what we can to reach them the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, listen, we need that so much today. We need that burning within us. Oh, listen, be active. Remember that flame every time you see a candle and you see that flame going, may it remind you that you're a candle for Christ.
Amen.
And He wants you to be active. He wants you to be humble because you're not announcing you. You're announcing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You're presenting to people the greatest riches they could ever get to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And then be selfless with your life and do all you can for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for these dear people. Pray, Father, You continue to bless.
Amen.
Continue to bless each speaker. Bless the music, God. Continue to lift up and glorify the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For it's in His name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you.